A bright torch is held aloft against a backdrop of billowing clouds by a slender woman in a white robe. Draped in a blue sash, she stands majestically atop a stepped stone plinth. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. A beam of light sweeps through blackness. The sun rises, illuminating a lighthouse on a rocky promontory by the sea. Castle Rock Entertainment, a Time Warner company. Columbia Pictures presents... Did you hear about the Morgans?
Hi, you've reached Meryl Morgan. I can't take your call right now, so leave a message and have a great day. Thanks.
Hello, it is me, your husband. At least, legally, still your husband, as recognised by the state of New York. And in the end, who are we to argue with the governor? I wanted to call and just say hello, as it is approaching the 3-month anniversary of our being separated. And I thought perhaps it might be nice to get together, as occasions like this only come round once in a lifetime. And, and I saw the cover of New York Magazine's real estate issue, and there you were. And you looked lovely, frankly. You are staring out from every newsstand and bus and taxi, and it is genuinely incredible how you have built your business into the premier boutique real estate firm in the city. I'm quoting here from the article. I have 5 copies. This way, if we ever get back together and lose yours, we're covered.
Hi, you've reached Meryl Morgan. I can't take your call right now, so leave a message and have a great day. Thanks.
Anyway, the point is that I am sad. And I miss you. And I bitterly regret what I did. And it would be very, very nice if you called, or in fact, if we could see each other. I hope you're getting the gifts. I know they're not all perfect. The ice sculpture, I concede, was a disaster. I did specify that they shouldn't leave it if you weren't home, and I will be suing. Talking of which, I must get back to work. I'm actually in court. I have a man here.
Sandy-haired Meryl Morgan shows a couple around an apartment overlooking Central Park.
Isn't this a beautiful view? You could pay for this whole apartment just by charging people to come and look at this. And if you like this, you're going to love this. What I call... the ballroom or the grand salon. It's the perfect combination of classic architecture and understated elegance.
The couple confer.
Non, c'est sympa, mais c'est un peu cher.
C'est pas sympa, c'est extraordinaire.
Non, je t'avais dit mon petit cœur.
C'est vraiment important pour moi.
Je suis fatigué.
C'est pour moi, c'est pour toi, c'est pour le bébé.
Mon petit cœur.
You're pregnant. I mean, if you're planning on having a baby, oh, this is the most magical place. How many children do you have? How many? Let me see. I have 0. My husband and I are separated. I know what you're thinking. The clock is ticking, right? L'horloge tic-tac, oui? But I'm considering adoption and gotta stay optimistic, you know? Don't get down on yourself.
Elsewhere.
Mr. Morgan, I have the depositions on the Anderson case for you.
Excellent. I hear it's a page turner. Now, where are we on the star front?
Well, you can buy and name a star Meryl. It's $75, and you get a celestial map and a certificate.
And I was really looking for something more impressive. Can I buy a constellation?
I don't know. You can buy a black hole.
Now, I'm not sure a black hole sends exactly the right message at this point in our relationship. Somewhat redundant.
Meryl's at a podium.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone at the National Breast Cancer Foundation. I'm so honored to be here tonight on behalf of Park Avenue Realty. Thank you to Jimmy, my waiter, at table number 2. Yes, you?
He frowns.
I'm not done with my dessert yet.
He cracks a smile.
This disease represents a crisis. Are we going to use this crisis to come out stronger, better, and more powerful than ever before?
A woman nods.
You bet we are.
Dashing, sharp-suited Paul Morgan slips in at the back.
But what that means...
Spotting Paul, Meryl suddenly becomes tongue-tied. Paul's eyes widen. He shrugs.
I'm sorry.
Well, basically, what I'm saying is, we want your money right now.
Paul claps. They stroll out of the high-rise building into the night air.
Great speech.
Thank you.
And you look fantastic tonight, by the way.
Thank you. I still don't entirely understand what you're doing here.
But breast cancer. I'm against it. Look, I just want to talk. I'll talk now, I'll talk later, I'll talk tomorrow, I'll talk at lunch, dinner, brunch, snack time.
Okay, I get it. You are available for talking.
Yes, yes.
To her nearby PA.
Hey, Jackie!
Jackie joins them.
Jackie, how very nice. How are you?
Mr. Morgan.
He squirms.
What do I have tomorrow?
That pita lunch?
Oh, barbecue, I imagine. What about after lunch?
Excuse me. Hello, Mrs. Morgan.
Hi, Adam.
After lunch, you have the farmer conference call.
Do I dare ask about dinner?
Merrill's doing a showing at 7 o'clock for Mr. Rabelais.
We've got Mr. Thompson for dinner at 7.
Hey, you know, I think it would just be easier if Jackie and Adam spoke to each other.
Excellent idea.
Excuse us.
They step aside.
What happens with Paul after lunch?
Well, he's
Don't
got...
Don't mumble, Adam. Enunciate.
How's the apartment?
It's good. So much more space without the golf clubs. How's the hotel?
It's nice. It's nice. There's no one setting the snooze alarm for 15 minutes before they actually want to wake up. So
yes, and I've really enjoyed not having anyone walk into the master bedroom wearing their shoes and trailing dirt and germs from all over the city.
That must be very, very nice. As is not stepping on discarded Lady Gillette's in the shower.
She looks away.
Which I've actually come to miss.
I can push Mr. Rabelais to 9 o'clock and Adam can reschedule Mr. Morgan's dinner.
I think I can.
Just do it. Be a man.
Excellent. Shall we say Daniel at 7?
Okay.
Great. Terrific.
Great. Good night.
Good night.
The lights of Manhattan twinkle in the night sky. Meryl and Paul sit opposite each other at a table for two in the busy, well-lit restaurant. Meryl tidies her hair.
So?
Paul furrows his brow.
Did you get the yucca? I know you like plants. And far, far away, there is now a galaxy called Meryl.
He gazes, doe-eyed.
You have to stop sending things. It's just getting very awkward.
I understand. I will. I promise. I just have one more little thing.
He produces a small envelope with her name on it. She opens it and takes out a handwritten card which reads, Dr. Tobin, Tuesday, 4:30. Kiss.
Okay, look, I know you always wanted us to go and I procrastinated, but I thought this might make up for it. Dr. Tobin is apparently the best marriage counselor in the city.
Oh, no, I know who she is. I found her duplex on Madison.
Okay, and the learners recommended her.
Eric and Fiona?
Yes.
They've been divorced a year.
They have, but the one thing they do agree on is how much they love Dr. Tobin. Apparently she wrote some book.
Yes, the magic marriage myth.
You see, you are so well-read. I really miss that.
It's all about people's expectations that their spouse will be the answer to all their problems, when in fact they should be facing reality and not asking their partners for more than they can give.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I don't know, I find her theory kind of depressing, don't you?
He frowns.
Yep. Yep. Yep, if you do.
Can you please stop being so agreeable, please?
Whatever you say.
He rolls his eyes and Meryl fumbles with her hair. Jackie and Adam stand outside the restaurant door, typing away on their flash phones. They share a contemptuous look as they continue to thumb the keypads, then look ahead as Meryl emerges with Paul. Meryl glances at her phone, then turns to Paul.
So,
I have to do a showing tonight. I'm going to pick up my client at his townhouse.
Yes.
Do you want to walk with me?
Absolutely, yes. Adam, we are going to walk.
You're going to walk?
Yes.
Is everything all right? Did we do something wrong? Everything's okay.
Meryl and Paul stroll away.
You did something wrong.
Adam looks at her. Paul and Meryl walk down the street at a casual pace. Paul gives a jaunty shrug.
Here comes the rain.
You slept with someone else, Paul.
You're not good at talking about the weather.
All right, it's overcast with a 100% chance of precipitation.
You slept with someone else.
I am sorry. I was confused. I was an idiot. I was wrong. I made a terrible mistake. I love you.
The rain beats down.
Do you still love me at all?
Meryl's hair is getting wet. She sweeps damp strands from her face.
I don't know if I can sort of love you. Or love you a little.
Well, I'm fine with it. Honestly, I can get by with a little less love for a while. Maybe years.
She stares at him.
That's not me.
He stares at her pleadingly, his brow creased. She shakes her head.
I have to go. I have the meeting.
Paul follows Meryl round a corner.
Look, I just think we should give Dr. Tobin a chance. You know...
Hey, there's my client.
On a balcony.
What is he doing in the rain without an umbrella?
What are we doing in the rain without an umbrella?
Mr. Revelet?
The man has a knife jutting out of his back. He plummets from the balcony and lands dead at their feet. Paul clamps a hand over Meryl's mouth as a dark figure appears on the balcony. Paul and Meryl hide behind a truck. But the truck pulls away, and the bearded, chisel-jawed man on the balcony spots them. He aims a gun. A taxi swerves to a halt in the road, and they climb in. The police have cordoned off the street. In a Chevy 4x4...
The man who was murdered tonight, Gerard Rebelet, was an international arms dealer. The FBI was moving in to convict him. So Rebelet was working with us to capture this man, Anton Ferensky. And we think that's why Ferensky had him killed. We find the murderer, maybe he leads us to Ferensky. And you're going to be our star witnesses. But right now, I just want to concentrate on keeping you safe.
What do you mean, safe?
This guy's still out there.
Yeah, but he doesn't know who we are.
I'm going to give you 24-hour protection at your apartment anyway.
Oh, well, we don't live together. He's at a hotel because we're separated.
My wife and I see someone once a week.
It's not by any chance Dr. Tobin, is it?
They get out of the vehicle.
I know it's been a rough night, so get some rest and I'll talk to both of you tomorrow.
Right.
Mrs. Morgan, it's Marshall Henderson. He'll be taking care of you.
Hello?
Ma'am?
Do you want me to stay tonight?
No, I think I'm going to be fine with Marshall Henderson.
Oh, do you think he can handle it?
Huh? He's huge.
Mrs. Morgan, I have your car right over here.
Well, good night.
Good night. Good night.
Mr. Morgan, Marshall Ferber.
Evening, sir.
Evening.
He's tiny.
You're in good hands.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's done.
That is good news, Vincent. We'll meet tomorrow on the island.
The hitman smiles.
No problem.
He stares at Meryl's image on a magazine cover in the window of Park Avenue Realty. Meryl's in a dressing gown at home.
Hello? Oh, hi, Marshall Lasky. Oh, you're going to send someone to relieve Marshall Henderson. That's good, because, you know, he's been out there all night. He must be exhausted. Can you hold on just a second? My intercom is ringing. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. Okay.
She runs to an intercom by her door.
Hi, Mike. Yep, okay. Thank you.
She picks up her phone.
Hi. So I guess you guys are already here because the doorman said they just sent a police officer up.
Henderson sees that the lift is on its way up.
What?
Dressed as a cop, the hitman gets out of the lift holding a pistol.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Henderson gets shot as she opens her door.
Get back inside!
A bullet blasts the door jamb. She flees inside and locks her door.
Oh my God!
The lock is shut off. She screams from the balcony. The door opens slightly, held ajar by the security chain. Clinging precariously to the building, Meryl puts a foot onto her neighbor's balcony. The hitman aims his pistol, but turns on hearing a lift approach. He runs to a nearby door and vanishes onto a stairwell. Meryl clings to the building, the ground far below. A well-to-do family in a room across the street look up from their breakfast. They watch for a breathtaking moment as Meryl crosses to safety, then return to their food. Paul is showering. The shower door opens.
There's an emergency.
It's Ferber.
Well, I certainly hope so, Marshall.
Ferber lingers.
Thank you. Do you mind?
Not at all.
He hovers. Paul and Merrill sit with Marshal Lasky.
We checked the building security camera, but he was pretty careful about keeping his head down.
So is Marshal Henderson okay?
He was wearing his vest. He'll be all right. But this guy is still out there. I recommend you both enter the witness relocation program.
What? Hang on.
Wait. Do you mean where they send you out into the middle of nowhere? Yeah? Oh, no.
Okay, I tell you what, why don't we just look at all the options? Because I'm sure there are options.
Where do we go?
We can't reveal that until you're on the jet.
There's a jet? So it's out of the city?
Here's what I think we should do. Let's just stay logical and examine all the parameters, if that's possible.
I can't leave. I have a company to run.
Well, we've both got companies to run, so that's important.
Right, so who runs my business?
All I'm saying is I think there are other things which...
And what about all of our friends and our family? What, we just up and disappear and we leave? That's crazy. That's nuts. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, we don't know what he's suggesting because you haven't actually stopped talking yet.
Excuse me. This isn't the first time we've done this. We'll get a list of people to contact. But first, we've got to get you to a safe location.
I mean, what happens if you never find this man?
We'll find him. In the meantime, we put you in a temporary spot until we can find a more permanent site.
What do you mean by permanent?
I don't mean permanent. I mean official site.
Yeah, but you said permanent. So if you don't catch this guy, then the official site becomes the permanent site?
Right, so why don't we just let him explain that bit?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't do this. Really, I can't. I'm a New Yorker. You know, I was born here. This is my home. I've had bagels in other parts of the country. I don't even like Connecticut.
This man is a professional killer. He found you in one night and he'll keep coming back. Wouldn't you rather live someplace else than die in New York?
Merrill stands with her arms tightly folded.
Merrill?
A trout-faced woman, Marshal King, stares solemnly.
I'm thinking.
There's nothing to think about. If you want to live, you're out of options.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to drag our personal problems into this, but at this exact moment, I can't commit to spending the rest of my life with my husband.
I know exactly how you feel.
Paul rolls his eyes.
This is just a temporary location. You'll be there a week at most. We'll look into arranging separate sites afterwards, but first, we've got to get you out of the city.
Marshal King watches as Merrill packs clothes. She folds a shiny gold evening dress.
You won't tell me where I'm going, so I don't know how to dress.
King shakes her head. Merrill clutches a glittering dress.
This because it's pretty.
Paul and Merrill empty credit cards from their wallets in front of Marshal Lasky. He raises his eyebrows and gives Merrill a pointed look. Merrill gives her mobile phone a little kiss and reluctantly throws it onto the pile. They leave New York on a private jet.
Now that we're on the jet, can you tell us where we're going?
Ray, Wyoming.
They stare blankly.
Is that anywhere near Phil, Wyoming?
Deadpan, shaven-headed Lasky fishes two wallets out of an envelope.
Here are your temporary IDs.
They take them.
You'll be in seclusion, but just in case you run into anybody, we don't want you using your real identities.
Merrill Foster?
You'll be under the care of Marshal Clay Wheeler. He's also the sheriff in town. Merrill, you're Clay's cousin from Chicago. You haven't seen him in 5 years, since he visited you and Paul. Any questions?
Do we get a movie?
The wide-open prairies of Wyoming. A stark, undulating mountain range stands on the distant horizon. Clouds grow heavy with rain over a great, featureless expanse of grassland. Their jet taxis along the runway at Cody Airport.
We're here. It's time.
Lasky removes his seatbelt and stands up. Paul and Merrill do the same.
Marshal Wheeler will take good care of you.
You're not coming?
I'm going back to find this guy. Good luck.
Merrill nods.
Goodbye.
Yeah, thank you, Marshal.
Thank you.
To King.
Thank you, Marshal. Thank you.
Ferber hugs Paul firmly, then taps him on the back. Mm-hmm. He steps back to allow Paul to pass. Merrill leads the way down the steps from the jet. She and Paul carry a suitcase each. On the tarmac, they glance awkwardly at each other, then look around. They keep their eyes peeled as they walk towards a small glass-fronted terminal building with the name Cody on top of its facade. They enter the building and glance across at a sleeping security guard beside a desk. Above the desk, a stuffed moose head.
Is that him?
As they stare at the man, the jet taxis off.
If it is, I feel safer already.
They turn as they hear the jet's engines and stare forlornly at it. They move towards the sleeping man in uniform.
Oh my God.
She spots a notice board and strides towards it. The man wakes.
Oh, you're gonna love this.
They read, encounters, getting out safely. If you encounter a grizzly bear, then what to do?
Should we be writing this down?
Don't worry, they're all over town.
Another man.
The posters, not the bears.
Hi, are you...
Glad to see you. You bet. Take your bag.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Come with me.
Better stay awake here, Tom.
The gray-haired man has a big mustache.
Welcome to Wyoming. I'm U.S. Marshal Clay Wheeler.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. I'm Meryl Morgan.
No, I don't think so, ma'am.
You mean I've been wrong all these years?
You're Meryl Foster.
Oh.
I'm your cousin. You cold?
Oh, we were just only allowed to bring one bag, so I just packed a ton of underwear and a strapless gown.
Same here.
Clay takes a look in his pickup's rearview mirror.
Temperature really drops around here at night. Could see about getting you something warm.
Thank you. I mean, if there's any place that's open.
Sure, there's a bargain barn. I've got to swing by there anyway.
I've never been to a bargain barn.
You're pulling my leg.
They don't have them in New York.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, that's why I've never been to one.
I'm still not following you.
Meryl looks intensely at Clay.
They don't have bargain barns in New York, so that's why I've never been to one.
We've also never been to one in Chicago, which is where we're from.
I see.
Oh, jeez.
They drive into the bargain barn car park. In the store...
Well, it's huge. I had no idea.
Astonishing.
It really is a huge superstore.
It's all about bulk.
This can't be right. A sweater for $9.99?
It's not right. Look, it's 2-for-1.
Come on.
Where is menswear?
Wait a minute.
Paul has found an encounters leaflet and a can of bear deterrent. He sits on a sofa and sprays a little of it. He spots a fake moose head with antlers and a woman testing a rifle. He and the dark-haired woman in a Stetson exchange a look. Paul turns away. Outside, he sees her in the car park.
Okay, look. See that woman? See that woman? Guess what's in those bags?
French bread?
Guns. Big guns. Oh, Lord, she's coming.
Oh, my God, it's Sarah Palin.
Actually, the name's Emma. Emma Wheeler, but you can call me Deputy Wheeler.
Oh, so...
Oh.
You say you're married?
Oh, yeah.
Just what you needed, huh? A couple more guns.
I love them. Do you hunt, Meryl?
Just for bargains. Actually, I'm a member of PETA.
Emma smiles blankly.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
So am I. Except mine's people for eating tasty animals.
You gotta know Emma to appreciate her humor. Sometimes that doesn't even help.
Hey, I just want to say that I think what you people are doing is very brave. And it'll be an honor to protect you. I hope you'll be real comfortable here with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I must say, I'd imagined Ray to be less modern, but this bargain barn is fantastic. I saw a movie theater down the road, an Applebee's.
Well, this is Cody. Ray's 45 miles that way, and there is no bargain barn there.
Meryl shakes her head and closes her eyes. The pickup truck with all four in the cab bears left and sets out onto the dimly lit street. Deep in the country, only their headlights illuminate the road. They reach a row of lit up buildings.
Here's Ray.
They continue along the main street past several other blocks of buildings.
That was it.
Could we do it again? I think I missed it.
Well, if that's Ray, where are we going?
Oh, a few miles outside of town. We like to get away from the hustle and bustle.
They drive along a track through shrubs and trees.
Come on in.
They enter the softly lit one-story house. Meryl stops and looks around.
Yep. This is it. Home sweet home.
Well, it's lovely. It's very, very nice.
Yes, I love what you've done with him.
Several stuffed trophies.
The heads.
Thanks. Yeah, we killed all these animals ourselves.
Oh, that's great. I hate when you have the decorator do it for you.
Oh, well, I got a brother over in Cheyenne who's a taxidermist, so...
Oh, that's handy. Any word from New York?
No, ma'am.
So you folks hungry? We got plenty to eat.
No, not me. I had my fill on the forced out of New York flight.
Chicago.
Chicago.
Well, you probably want to be getting some shut-eye. I'll show you to your room.
Okay.
Hope you'll be comfortable here. We fixed up the spare bedroom. Not exactly the Ritz. We usually only have one witness at a time.
The last one was Vito the Butcher Emmanuel. Murdered 5 people before he turned state's evidence.
So you actually do this all the time?
Yeah. About 10 years ago, the government asked if we'd hide somebody for a week. Ever since then, a couple of times a year, they bring somebody by. Been kind of interesting, actually. Now they want me to retire. So, you two are going to be our last.
Oh. Well, it's an honor, and it's a lovely witness room, but Mr. Morgan, Mr. Foster and I are separated.
We are thinking of seeing a therapist, yeah.
Clay looks bemused.
So how do you want to handle the sleeping arrangements, then?
Well, I can sleep on a couch.
No,
because I'm a lousy sleeper anyway, really. I'd be fine on a couch. And do you have cable?
We got an antenna. Got a bunch of DVDs. John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, mostly.
That's great. That's great. Oh, but I see you have a computer. So that means that you have internet, you're online?
We do, but you would need a code.
Which you're not going to give me.
No. Trying to contact somebody back home is just too big a risk.
I guess the same goes for the phone, because I just have a couple of things I have to check on.
If I can make one quick call.
Yeah, and you know, you could supervise the calls.
Meryl holds the receiver to her ear.
There's no dial tone.
There's a code.
So, I guess that is about it. There's towels and soap in the bath.
Great. Terrific. Is there a code?
The Wheelers just stare at Paul. Emma's head nods slightly.
Sorry. Silly.
Meryl, in top and jogging bottoms, makes up her bed on the couch. Paul comes into the room.
You sure you're going to be happy on that thing?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Good night. Night, night. Night, everyone.
He talks to the stuffed heads.
Look, Paul, I know how hard you're trying. Really, I do. I'm not completely oblivious. And believe me, it would be so much easier if I could just make myself forget. But when I look at you, I just feel regret and sadness and a deep desire to see you suffer intense pain.
Listen, that's not a problem. That is not a problem. I am more than willing to hurt myself. Or would you prefer to do it? Whatever it takes. Look, just tell me what to do. Tell me.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, look, the thing is, Meryl, I'm just trying to be realistic. You know, I'm human. I made a mistake. I'm not perfect.
No, I know you're not. But I was so in love with you. And now I'm just...
She lowers her gaze and shakes her head repeatedly.
I'm so disappointed.
His face somber, Paul's eyes flit up and down.
And I don't trust you anymore.
Paul closes his eyes and raises his left hand.
Good night.
Just you know why.
Good night.
Why you and I.
Paul enters the guest room, which has a stuffed head on one of its walls. He picks up the Bargain Barn bag and from it takes two cans of bear deterrent. He takes out the Encounters leaflets.
Sometimes we'll sigh.
Meryl sits up on the couch and reads Rodeo Roundup magazine. Paul is in bed.
And we'll know why, just you and I know true love why.
He stares at the stuffed head. In the kitchen, Meryl opens the fridge door. Inside, lots of meat. She covers her mouth with her hand and closes the door. Paul switches his bed light on. He rises, picks up his towel, and drapes it over the antlers on the deer's stuffed head. Meryl is also up. She walks over to a window.
Sometimes we'll sigh. Sometimes.
Back in bed, Paul switches off the light. In the living room, a John Wayne movie is on the TV screen. A light on beside her, Meryl sits up watching the DVD. Morning, New York City. Jackie's at her desk when Adam walks up.
Jackie, did you hear about the Morgans?
She beckons him forward.
Totally devastated.
They're in protective custody.
Adam, I heard.
What are we going to do?
What can we do? We can't. Yes?
There's a client here for Mrs. Morgan.
Sure, send him back.
It's the hitman.
Can I help you?
If you're busy, I can come back later.
Oh, not at all. He was just leaving.
Mm-hmm.
She pushes Adam away.
Yeah, I'm in the market for a two-bedroom. A friend referred me to Meryl Morgan.
Would you have a seat?
Yeah.
The hitman, Vincent, secretes a listening device under her desk.
Excuse me.
Jackie dismisses Adam with a wave of her hand. His cell phone to his ear, he mouths, "Call me."
I'm Jackie, Mrs. Morgan's assistant. She's not in today. Can I get one of the other agents to talk to you?
You know, if she's as good as everyone says, then I'm sure she's probably worth the wait.
She is.
All right, well, I'm sorry to have taken up your time, then.
Not at all.
Nice looking muffin there.
As she looks away, he drops another device into her bag.
Enjoy your breakfast.
At the Wheelers, eggs and bacon are cooking. The clatter from the kitchen wakes Meryl, who sits up on the couch and glances across at Emma.
Howdy. Hope I didn't wake you.
Oh, no, no. I didn't really sleep. It's a little too quiet here.
You hungry?
Meryl crosses to Emma.
Oh, smells good. Oh, well, that's impressive. I've never turned my oven on. Wow, look at that. Fire comes out and everything.
Do you want sausage or bacon or both with your eggs and pancakes?
Oh, no, no, thanks. I'm actually a vegetarian.
Morning.
I got news for you, Sheriff. Your cousin here is a vegetarian.
And everything's going to happen to your own family.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Morning. Morning. Morning.
Morning.
How'd you sleep?
Not brilliantly. It's very, very quiet, isn't it? I thought I could actually hear my cells dividing.
I know. I kept praying for a siren.
Yes, or a rumbling subway or something.
Speaking of New York, have you heard anything?
No, ma'am. You can ask every 5 minutes. When they tell me, I'll tell you.
Oh, I saw a photo of a young man. Is that your son?
That's our boy. A junior.
Oh, does he live in Ray too?
No, he married a girl from Omaha, so he moved to the big city.
The big city?
Omaha.
Here you go. Sunny side eggs, sausage with bacon, home fries, homemade biscuits, and country gravy. Can I catch anything else?
No, thanks. Just an angiogram.
His plate is piled high. A stream flows by the house.
Now we're going to make our rounds. Probably best for you to stay put. Fewer people see, the safer you are.
Which is a shame, because Ray is the friendliest place on Earth. Help yourself to anything in the fridge if you're hungry. We'll be back in a couple of hours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Emma saunters out, a rifle by her side. Meryl and Paul are still at the table.
Can't believe this is happening.
She lowers her head.
Well, at least you didn't have the whole breakfast. I feel my organs shutting down one by one.
Meryl sits up.
I thought Disneyland was the friendliest place on Earth.
No. Disneyland is the happiest place on Earth. Oh. Ray is the friendliest place. People probably get them confused all the time.
They look lost. Standing at the window, they watch Emma and Clay ride past on horseback.
What if we never get out of here? What if I never go to Lincoln Center again, or see the Mets, or see our friends, or sit on the Great Lawn reading the New York Times, or watch Shakespeare in the Park, or go to Nobu, or order Chinese? Oh, God! Do you know how long it would take to order Chinese? It'd be weeks, and it would be cold!
Okay, stop. Now, listen to me. We are here, and there's nothing we can do about it. There's no phone calls to make, there's no connections to work, there's no favors to call in. I think that you should treat it as a vacation, a welcome break in your busy schedule.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, you're right. Okay.
She sits down.
There. Oh, God, I'm going mad at your tickets!
Well, at least you gave it your best shot. That's really all we can ask.
On the porch, Meryl does some stretches.
They did say not to leave.
Oh, come on.
Well, perhaps I should come with you to protect you. And I'd really rather not be left here on my own.
She in T-shirt and tracksuit bottoms and he in T-shirt and shorts go jogging. They cross a wooden bridge, run across arid reddish ground, then head towards a wood.
Oh, God, I can't breathe. The air is still clean. Oh, my God.
They jog down a hill towards the stream at the side of the house.
All right, I'm going to shower.
As she goes to the house, Paul bends at the waist. She looks back and spots something.
Paul?
A bear approaches.
Paul, don't move.
Sorry?
There's a bear behind you. Yes, there is.
Oh, shit.
Paul makes to run.
No, don't run. Don't run. The poster said not to run. Wait, hold on. I'm going to go get it, okay? Hold on.
What? Come back. Meryl, come back. Come back, please. Meryl.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. Keep calm. Avoid direct eye contact. And speak in a soft monotone.
Nice to meet you. My wife is a member of PETA. I have been meaning to join.
Don't shoot a bear.
I don't have a gun.
Because the bear almost always lives long enough to maul the shooter severely.
I don't have a gun!
Soothing.
So sorry. I don't have a gun. No gun.
Wait. There's one last thing.
What is it?
You know, you don't need to hear this.
What is it?
Okay, as a last resort, assume a cannonball position, covering your neck and your head with your hands and your arms.
I didn't need to hear that.
Well, I know that. I told you that. See, you never listen. This is exactly
could we not
what
do this
you
now?
Do every yes. single time. Oh, my God, Paul,
don't
he's coming.
Don't be soothing.
Run!
It says not to run.
Run!
He runs inside. She sprays him accidentally.
Okay, he's going. Yeah, he's going. We're gonna be okay.
I'm blind!
Oh, my God.
I can't see.
Oh, wow.
I can't see.
It was close. My God.
Meryl sits in a doctor's waiting room filling in a form, which requests patient and insurance information. Clay, Emma, and Paul, who has a cloth over his eyes, sit beside her.
Oh, Lord.
Paul squints. Meryl goes to reception.
There you go. Okay, let's have a look. See here. You're from Chicago, Mrs. Foster? Yep, that's right. I've always dreamed about Chicago. Oh, well, I'm sure one day you'll get there. Oh, no, I don't want to go. I just always dream about it.
Meryl stares at Kelly, the receptionist.
Is it going to be much longer? Because my husband is very uncomfortable.
Oh, Lord in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at him. He's a mess.
You should see a doctor.
Paul removes the cloth.
Laughter really is the best medicine.
Paul screws up his eyes. With the doctor.
So, you sprayed yourself with bear spray, Mr. Foster.
Oh, no, actually, I sprayed him. I mean, unintentionally, of course. Anyway, do you think maybe he should see a specialist?
Well, I'm the only doctor in town, so I'm about as special as it gets. Do everything from geriatrics to pediatrics.
Well, don't want to confuse those two.
No, you don't. That is the great thing about being a doctor in a small town. You see it all. Anyway, and physiologically, it's all the same. You know, the body is the body. So, let's see if we can't take care of that boo-boo in your eye, Mr. Foster.
You see, just calling it a boo-boo makes me feel better already.
Let's go next door to the exam room. Say, would you like to come along, Mr. Foster?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Hey, let me help you there, Mr. Foster. Say, do you like stickers? Here, let's take a little visit to the giraffe room.
Left alone, Merrill looks at a poster on the wall advertising the 67th annual Ray Rodeo. Cash prizes. She steps closer to the wall and sees photos of children, a pageant queen and a boy wearing a cowboy hat sitting on a horse. Her face looks sad and she lowers her head. She turns, glances up, then moves the desk telephone. She picks up its receiver. She dials and listens to the ringing tone.
You've reached Trish Pinger at the Gotham Adoption Agency. Please leave a message.
Hi, Trish. This is Merrill Foster. Merrill Morgan calling. I was just calling to thank you so much for everything that you've done for me, but I'm now sort of in the middle of something. I might be relocating. I might be in New York. I might be God knows where. I bet he sound really stable right now, right? Probably can't believe you're going to help me adopt a baby.
The telephone receiving the call locates the doctor's number. Merrill gazes softly at the photographs on the wall. Merrill and Paul watch a Clint Eastwood movie on TV.
Very soothing before bed.
She lies on her couch under a blanket. He sits opposite.
Okay, I will. Good night.
Night.
He pads towards the bedroom in his T-shirt and pyjama bottoms. Merrill looks wistful.
Paul? I called the Gotham Adoption Agency.
Paul stares at her blankly.
I filed for adoption 2 months ago.
You did?
So I wanted to tell them that I couldn't go through with it now.
She switches off the TV. Paul's brow furrows.
2 months ago, must have been a big decision for you.
Well, I really thought about telling you, but I didn't really know where we were at. And to be honest, you know, from the time that we started having trouble getting pregnant, you weren't exactly supportive.
You know, I always find it almost impossible to believe that you say that, because between the fertility doctors and the injections and the woman who chanted over my sperm...
Oh, yeah, come on, I have apologized for that so many times.
That I was pretty supportive. Was I enjoying having sex on a schedule timed exactly to your ovulations? Maybe not as much as I should have done, and I'm very sorry about that. Or talking about reproducing every second of every day.
It wasn't every second of every day. I just wanted to be a mother.
Yes, and I wanted to be a father. I was the one who suggested adoption in the first place.
Then why did we never meet with an adoption agency?
Because by that time you had become so wired and so crazed that they would not have let us raise a goldfish, let alone a baby.
You know, I was wired from the hormone shots, and I am not normally that crazy. And instead of you staying home and dealing with it, you flew off to L.A. on a business meeting, and then you...
I know what I did. I slept with someone else, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know how many times I'm supposed to say it. I think you are being completely irrational.
These two are worse than Vito the Butcher.
I'd really prefer it if you'd not tell me what I think. It is quite annoying.
I kind of like him.
Don't lawyer me.
Fine, I
wish there was some way we could help him.
Yeah. Muzzles.
I think you're being unreasonable.
You're wrong.
Is that helpful? Is that constructive? Is that mature?
It's mature. I don't know if it's mature.
Oh, that is mature. Yes, mock my accent. Mock my heritage.
We have got to get them out of the house.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
New York.
I don't know what to do. There were all these meetings that were set, all these clients.
You think you've got problems? She's the president of the firm. Nothing happens here without her. And everyone is looking at me like, where is she?
I'm gonna lose my job. Without him, I'm superfluous.
Well, I've got news for you, even with him.
Jackie picks up the phone.
Meryl Morgan's office. She's not in today. Hello, Miss Pinger. Yes, from the adoption agency. What? Meryl called you yesterday. Do you happen to have that number? Yes, if you could just hold...
Adam gets tangled in the phone wire.
Hold on, just one moment. Yes, go ahead. Uh-huh. Thank you so much, Miss Pinger. All right.
Vincent monitors and records the conversation. On the ranch by a corral.
This is Mike, Clarence, Jackson, and Wendy. This is when we're going to put you on, Mira.
No, sorry. No offense, Wendy, but I'm allergic to you. And I had once a very bad horse experience. I was thrown. It was from the carousel in Central Park, but still, you know.
You ride, Pa?
Well, I do a little bit. Yes, I had some lessons when I was a child.
Mm-hmm. You had riding lessons?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never knew that.
Yeah, well, I don't tell you everything, so.
Yeah, I knew that.
She looks away and he pulls a face. All four are mounted up.
Whoa.
Okay.
Wendy started forward, surprising Meryl. Clay leads Emma and Paul towards an incline. Wendy comes trotting along behind them. Meryl sprints after the horse. Tree stump. Three more are lined up. Meryl and Paul flinch. Three hits.
Annie Oakley.
All right, come on, Meryl, your turn.
All right, let's just get this over with.
All right, this is a loaded gun, so you don't point it at another person or your own foot.
Okay.
Okay. And are you left-handed or right-handed?
You know, I write with my left hand, but I play tennis and I play badminton with my right hand. I text with my right hand. I cut, right? I cut cake with my left hand.
Okay, we're going to do it like this. Line it up through the sides to the can. Now, when that gun goes off, it's going to kick back
from
your shoulder, okay?
Yeah.
Don't put your finger on the trigger till you're ready to shoot.
All right.
Emma is beside Meryl, who has the rifle raised and aimed at the reset cans. Emma walks round behind Meryl. Clay and Paul watch to the left of where Meryl stands.
This is nothing. You should see how long it takes her to order dinner.
Meryl glances over at Paul, then looks back along the barrel of the rifle. Her right eye is closed. She shakes her head. The others wait patiently.
Oh, there you go.
Blew its head off.
That was good.
Wow, it's very, very loud.
Yeah.
No, because I got two more cans.
I'm just going to cark the gun.
Oh.
Fascinating. A week ago, she was basically Amish.
All right.
Okay. Yeah,
I know. Load and ready to go.
Okay.
Keep your finger off the trigger. Are you ready?
She takes careful aim.
Ow! Missed!
Well, I think it's my turn now, isn't it?
No, I'm not done yet.
I think you'll find it's my turn.
I'm not done. I'm on a roll.
Now it's my turn.
This thing is loaded. We have to give you two an NRA class. Paul's turn.
Thank you. You're rude. Selfish.
Just do like your wife did.
Right. Thank you.
Get a hold of it. Relax.
Mm-hmm.
Meryl stands behind him, then moves away.
Just relax. Find your target.
Mm-hmm.
Take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Squeeze easy.
Oh, bollocks. God in heaven, that hurt. Agony.
Miss.
Absolute agony. Could you take that for me just a second? I think I've really done some damage. Meryl,
what?
I think I have a welt. Quite a big welt. Look at that. Do you see that?
Yes, it's quite
purple,
big.
Ugly, it's like a little map of Ireland.
Yeah, real easy to hurt your shoulder shooting a rifle.
I didn't.
Could you just wait outside? Play with a toy? Thank you.
You ever shoot before, Meryl?
Nope. Never held a gun before in my life. Although I could have used one during some tense negotiations at work. I'm a real estate broker.
You kidding?
No.
My mom is getting on, and she's moving in with me.
Okay,
can't get any bites on her house.
He shows her a photograph.
Mm. Well, it's lovely. But you know, when the market's like this, you really need to focus more on presentation. And, I mean, just off at the top of my head, I think maybe the chair that's sitting on the front lawn, it looks very, very comfortable. But have you ever considered moving it inside the house?
No.
Well, just think about it. It's...
I will. Okay. Would you mind coming out and taking a look at the place?
Oh, not at all.
Can you spare her, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. I'm used to being separated. The shoulder, I mean. Shoulder.
Oh, that's not separated. This tiny little bruise wouldn't hurt a schoolgirl.
Ow!
Emma chops logs.
Hi there.
Hey!
Hey.
How's your arm feeling?
Oh, it's nothing, it's nothing. I just went to the doc because Merrill was so worried. Can I, give you a hand there?
If you're up to it.
Yeah, no problem.
Paul picks up an axe and swings it into a log. The blade gets stuck. Emma deftly splits her log.
So, I really just wanted to apologise for any trouble we may have caused you. You know, I know there's been a certain amount of screaming and shouting and so on.
Oh, that's okay. I know what it's like. Me and Clay had a few humdingers.
Really? You see, that's quite comforting to hear, because you two seem so happy.
Well, we are. That doesn't mean we haven't almost called it quits a few times.
Really? How did you two patch things up, if I might ask?
Well, he bought me a Remington 270 with a night scope and M engraved on it. And he gave me some cows. I love cows.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I wish I'd thought of the cows thing. That's good.
Yeah, there was this one time. We were really butting heads. Something about his brother. It's not important, but anyway, it got to where we weren't even hardly talking. And he asked me out on a date.
A date?
Yeah. Just like two kids in high school. He asked me out. We went out to dinner. We talked, and it worked like magic.
Very interesting. Well, speaking of work, I think we're probably pretty much done here, so...
His axe is still jammed in the log.
Well, see you later.
Thanks for coming. Just while we're standing here, I just want to point out a few things. This whole railing is brand new, and actually Doc built it himself. Fresh coat of paint. So I don't know if you guys want to go inside and kind of get a lay of the land.
Staying with you.
You're staying with me?
Whoa! I'm taking my boots off.
Listen, before you take those boots off, do you want to go look around and see how big this yard is?
Yeah.
I might be right back because I'm going to have a very quick conversation with you. Oh, and you know that kitchen wall? Show them it's not barren, so you can take it down. You can build a gorgeous playroom for them.
To Paul.
What's up?
This may sound strange. But, would you like to go on a date with me?
You know, that does sound strange.
It's been a while since we dined together, and,
Well, I thought, we just had dinner in New York.
And I thought that went well until the murder.
Hey, Meryl, you coming?
Oh, yeah, just 1 minute. I'll be in. Sorry.
Shall we say 7:30? It's a place called Annette's. I am told it is the only place to eat in town, literally.
Oh.
And, it'll just be a chance to sit and talk, like we used to before the infertility. And the infidelity. And the separation. I will pay.
Well, I mean, if you're going to pay.
She nods. That evening, Paul and Merrill sit at a table in Annette's cafe. The table's beside shelves full of jars of mayonnaise.
Luckily, I called ahead and got a table near the mayonnaise.
You must know someone.
And, I know you said no more presents, but I went online under Emma's supervision and downloaded a CD of New York noises to help you sleep. Car horns, subways, women fighting in Bloomingdale's. I think you might actually be on here.
She looks at the CD.
Well, thank you.
Very welcome.
Two salads.
Well, thanks, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I had asked for mine with the dressing on the side.
I thought you were kidding.
Yeah, I know. That always gets a laugh.
Have you been a waitress a long time, Kelly?
Oh, forever.
Yeah.
I can't get by on nursing. There's just not enough sick people in town.
Oh, that's so unfair.
Well, it's not so bad. Most people in Ray have two jobs. Some have three. I'm also assistant fire chief.
Oh, really? Then
Could you ask the gentleman behind us to please put out his cigarette?
Yeah, I can't do that. That's Earl. He owns the place.
Why is it called Annette?
Annette was his wife. She divorced him about 10 years ago. He doesn't want to repaint.
Meryl turns to Earl.
Excuse me?
He looks up.
Hi, I'm Meryl Foster. I'm Clay's cousin. And this is my husband, Paul. We're visiting from Chicago.
How do you do? I'm Earl Granger. My granddaughter, Lucy.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I was just wondering, would you mind terribly blowing the smoke in another direction? Thank you.
Chicago. I don't know how you do things in Chicago. I've never been there. But this is God-fearing American country. We don't take kindly to outsiders trying to tell us how to live.
Well, people in Chicago are just as American and God-fearing as people in Wyoming. I mean, not me specifically. I'm an agnostic.
Next thing you'll be telling us you're Democrats.
Well, I mean, there's got to be a few of us in town.
14. And we know who they are.
13, honey. Bill Hare died a month ago.
Of natural causes, or is he?
You're not getting smart with me, are you, tea drinker?
You know what I did to the last man who called me that?
Earl stares at him.
He stole his trumpet.
As Paul and Meryl leave, they bump into the dock.
Doc. Howdy, Fosters. How are you tonight?
Oh, good. We just had a lovely meal at Annette's.
Must be Earl's night off. Yeah. Are you okay?
Well, we just need to call Claire and Emma. They said they'd pick us up.
Oh, they're playing poker with the Millers and the Caseys. Here, just take my truck. There's that one right there.
We couldn't possibly.
Oh, I don't need it till tomorrow. Door's open, keys inside.
Really?
Around here, everybody leaves their keys in case someone needs a ride. You don't do that in the city?
Well, people do take each other's cars, but...
Yes, yeah, but the return policy's a bit fuzzy.
Well, you be sure to return mine, all right?
Okay, Doc, thanks.
Right. Thank you.
Good night, y'all.
Yeah.
Good night. Which one was it?
I don't know. They're all exactly the same.
They drive along a dark, unlit road.
Are we lost?
Certainly not. I turned right at the broken fence.
And left at the second big rock?
Second big rock? Oh, no, then we are lost. All right, I'm going to turn right up here. No, I'm not. I'm going to go round. Hang on.
He reverses the pickup truck towards a gate.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Why her?
Paul looks surprised.
You want to discuss this now? In the middle of absolutely nowhere?
Yeah, I know. It's probably not the time, but why her? I mean, you meet lots of women. You're always at lunches and meetings, so... Why her? Was it just that she was pretty?
Who said she was pretty? She was quite hideous, actually. A leper, really. I mean, if the Elephant Man had a sister...
I googled her. Oh. Yeah, I just looked under loose legal ladies.
Paul nods resignedly.
She's pretty.
Paul stares into the distance with a pained expression.
So, what's she like?
She's... reserved, I know, a bit cynical.
Yeah, no, I can see that. That makes sense. It's probably like, you know... going to a spa. You're very... quiet and... cool and laid back and nobody nagging you or asking you questions like some crazy neurotic woodpecker who won't let go of an issue until it's been pecked to death.
It was really nothing. You know, I was stupid. I'd had a few drinks. I was upset about us and it just happened and I did not enjoy it. I was feeling guilty the whole time and her perfume smelled a bit like a burrito. And you are easily the sexiest, most exciting woman I have ever been with or ever
wish to be with us. She smiles.
Mm-hmm.
He looks hopefully at her. She nods pensively.
I sort of believe you.
Paul studies her and considers how to take this.
Progress.
She laughs and they drive on.
Maybe it wasn't the fragrance. Maybe she just smells like a burrito.
Very possible.
The next day, they go jogging.
I don't want you, but I hate to lose you. You got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I wanna cross you off my list, but when you come knocking at my door.
They run past Kelly, who's cleaning the fire truck. They wait for a rider to pass before running on. Lucy waves to them as she comes out of a store.
Hi. Morning, Lucy.
Lucy.
You got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Knock.
Hey, Daddy.
Howdy, Fosters.
You got me in between.
It's a store. It's a real store.
The devil and the deep blue sea.
Of course they haven't got cashmere. And when they say they haven't, don't just say go and look.
Sorry, you never know. I mean, you just have...
So you're a lawyer.
It's Earl.
Sort of.
Well, this is about my granddaughter, Lucy. She's going to be the next American Idol.
Is she? Well, that's great. That's lovely. Good.
See, her dad's sick. And her mother's off to the army. So that leaves it up to old Grandpa to look after her. Truth is, I need a will.
Ah. Okay, well, the problem is, I don't really practice that kind of law.
What do you practice?
No, he can do it, he can do it. Hey, listen, I gotta go, I told Doc that I would help him with his house today, you know, so I'm just gonna go and shower, and I'll see you later, and have fun.
She goes.
I've got my financials clear back to 1953.
Good, great, that sounds fun. Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? Despite our cultural differences, I think you and I could be good friends.
Well, inscrutable.
Or not. It's completely up to you.
Rows of townsfolk sit playing bingo in a large hall. Meryl and Paul are amongst them. Emma calls out the numbers.
18.
Can we have it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh.
Window shut.
Excellent. Well done.
We got N32.
Ooh. N32. Hey, how'd it go today with Earl?
Really well, yes. I made him such a beautiful will, he asked me to kill him.
Well, look at you, country lawyer.
But look at you, country real estate person. Word is that Sir Doc had an offer on his mum's house.
Yeah, she's incredible right out the gate.
Well, it was just past the second big rock, and you know what they say, location, location, location.
Next up is B4. B4.
That's so funny.
Before. Like before. Like B-4 and after.
Clay shakes his head.
You're a fire when you need one.
G-46. That's G-46.
Oh, my God. Bingo. Bingo, bingo. Bingo.
Oh, my God. Bingo.
Bingo. Bingo. Yes. Yes. Bingo. Oh. Oh. Wow. Yeah. Whoa. Why are we so happy?
$3.
Adam and Jackie.
Please listen to me. You cannot call that number. We've been over this, Jackie. You heard what the marshal said. We could be endangering their safety. There are rules here.
My God, you're a scared little man. Haven't you ever done anything to break the rules?
She dials the number.
307-179-9048.
Adam watches her tensely.
Hello, it's Jackie Drake, Mrs. Morgan's assistant. Adam!
He plants a kiss on her lips, and she tases him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I am so sorry. It was a reflex. I took a self-defense course. I got an A in tasering. Would you like to go to a movie with me tomorrow?
He lies frozen rigid on the floor. Elsewhere, Vincent keys Meryl Morgan, 307-179-9048, into his phone.
Couldn't have enjoyed it more. Couldn't have.
It was surprising. I was really surprised.
Congratulations.
It was a great night.
See you tomorrow.
Mañana.
Good night.
Clay and Emma go to bed.
Good night.
211 in progress in the back.
Be sure and tell him that's in progress, right?
Meryl sinks down on the couch.
Okay, I will. Good night.
Night.
He rises and makes his way through to the bedroom.
Just wait up again, Marie.
He switches off the bed light and lies on his back, his hands clasped together over his chest. Meryl stares at the door. In the middle of the night, Paul sleeps in his darkened room.
Come in.
The door opens and Meryl stands in the doorway.
Hello.
Hi. Are you asleep?
Very much so, yes.
I hate to interrupt that, but you have to see this.
They step outside and look up at the sky.
Good God. Is that right?
The stars are bright.
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it in New York outside the planetarium.
Meryl shakes her head, and Paul cranes his neck.
Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken.
Paul eyes her curiously.
Shakespeare from our wedding.
Was he there? We never got his gift.
It was my vows to you.
I know, I know. Although at the time I thought you'd written them, I was so disappointed when I found out.
Do you remember your vows to me?
There was once a girl from Nantucket. No, that's not it, that's not it.
No, it's all right, it was a long time ago. My God, it's amazing how many stars.
I promise never to take you for granted or utter a word unkind. Never allow my affections to be recanted or stop marveling at your behind. To also marvel at your warmth, your wit, your refusal to condone animal slaughter, your wisdom, your laugh, your inability to boil water. To be your best friend for the rest of my life, and to thank the God you're not sure about for fooling you into being my wife.
Her head bowed, Meryl nods. He watches as she raises her head.
And the next thing I heard was, do you, Meryl Judith Becker, take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?
And I said I do.
You did, and then I heard, do you, Paul Michael Morgan, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
And your mother said, he doesn't.
But I ignored her. And then I heard, I now pronounce you man and wife. And then, I don't remember.
You may kiss the bride.
Right, right, right.
Her grin spreads across his face.
You may kiss the bride.
Yes. And then we had the buffet, beginning with the meatless pigs in blankets.
She takes a step closer to him.
You may kiss the bride.
His eyebrows shoot up and his mouth gawps open.
Oh, may I?
She smiles broadly.
You sure?
I'm wavering honestly.
He cups her head in his hands and kisses her.
Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel all right. Everybody gonna dance around tonight.
He carries her through the front door and into the house.
Everybody gonna hit the ground. Everybody gonna dance around tonight.
Without setting her down, he bends to open the bedroom door.
Well, you can come on.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. Get out of practice. You can do
anything. He sets her down and returns to shut the door.
What do you mean, ow? That was foreplay.
Morning. Clay answers the phone.
Hey, Marshal Lasky. Yes, sir? Right. All right. Take care. They got your separate sites ready, and they want you to leave tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow?
Yep.
Wow, that's soon, eh?
Well, the good news is you still get to go to the rodeo. And the rodeo dance.
Yes.
Meryl and Paul exchange an awkward glance. New York, Vincent's on the phone.
Dr. Simmons' office?
Yeah, is this the Dr. Simmons in Columbus, Ohio?
No, this is the Dr. Simmons in Ray, Wyoming.
Sorry, my mistake.
Kelly turns to the doc standing beside her.
There's someone using your name in Columbus, Ohio.
Vincent grins and Googles Ray, Wyoming. A capital A on the map indicates Ray's position. They, Meryl and Paul, are out jogging.
You know what? I think that's about it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably did tire you out a bit last night. God, I was amazing.
Yeah. I'm really glad I was there to see it.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, listen. With regard to the whole adoption thing, it is possible that I did drag my feet a little bit. You would be a terrific mother. Caring and supportive and completely smothering.
I'm so looking forward to that.
But I am not sure that I would be good at it.
Really? That's what you're worried about?
A bit, yes. Yes. What makes you think I would be a good father?
Well, if I had to pick one thing, I would say it was the mouse.
What are you talking about?
Don't you remember, you know, we had a mouse in our apartment and then all of a sudden the cereal box started moving?
Oh, yes, yes. The shaky granola.
Yeah, and yes. It ran out to our balcony and, you know, you could have just taken a broom and swept it off, but instead you stood there for hours trying to coax that little guy into a shoebox using Jarlsberg from Zabar's.
Yeah, a terrible waste of cheese, seeing as it eventually leapt to its death.
When I saw that, I just...
She brushes hair from her forehead.
I knew you'd be a great father.
Especially if we adopt a rodent.
Thank you for being honest.
Listen, while I am speaking honestly, I wondered if we might also discuss the whole business of separate sites. I don't want to pressure you.
No, I've been thinking about it too. You know, why don't you finish your jog and we'll talk about it when you come back, okay?
Okay. Take the bear spray.
Okay.
Take the bear flyer.
Okay. Thank you.
He turns and jogs away from her. She glances over her shoulder at him as she walks back the way they came. Clay's milking a cow.
Clay?
Come on in.
Meryl opens the barn door.
Hey, Clay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking for Emma in the house. Is she around? I just wanted to talk to her.
She's gone into Cody for supplies. She'll be back in about an hour.
Oh. It's just, as you can probably see, things are going much better between me and Paul. But, you know, some very big decisions need to be made in regards to our future and the possibility that we're not going back to New York. And the fact is that, well, I slept with someone else while Paul and I were separated.
Emma will be back in about an hour.
Clay peeps from behind the cow and back again.
Well, I kind of don't know what to do.
Grab a bucket.
Okay.
She grabs a bucket from a table, then stops beside a milking stool set between two cows. She turns to Clay.
So which of these are skim?
He just glances up at her. She walks towards the nearer cow.
Put your bucket under there. Get that stool. Grab a hold of the teat.
Uh-huh.
Good luck.
Meryl sits on the stool.
Well, you know, there's the school of thought that says what Paul doesn't know won't hurt him, and on some level, I guess it's almost narcissistic if I do tell him. But how can I expect complete honesty from him if I'm asking any less of myself? I mean, isn't that just the height of hypocrisy?
Could be. I don't hear much helping going on over there.
Oh, sorry.
She reaches her hand towards the udder.
Ow!
The cow kicked her.
Does this hurt them?
Not if you're gentle about it.
Oh. I get it. Yeah, I get it. You're...
You're telling me to be honest, but to be gentle.
I was telling you to ease up on her teeth, but I guess it worked both ways.
That's very wise.
I doubt that. The stuff you're talking about isn't easy. It's like that book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus.
You read that book?
I read the cover. It pretty much summed it up.
Meryl stares straight ahead. The rodeo dance. Clay tosses a horseshoe over a pole.
Ringer! I give up, Clay. You're too good.
People clink beer bottles, a girl lassoes something, and young Lucy's band performs on stage. Meryl comes up to Meryl and Paul.
Well, hello there. I'm glad you came.
A poster heralds the I Love Lucy's band. Kids and adults applaud the band.
Thank you, Ray! Keep your dancing shoes on, because now we're gonna kick it.
Hey, come on, you dance.
Paul leads Meryl onto the floor, and he twirls her. Emma and Clay smile as they dance.
I want to tell you something.
I know. I'm very light on my feet.
No. Well, yes. But something else.
She runs her hand down his back.
I think we should go to the official site together.
You do?
Yeah.
But that is so great.
Good.
That is so great.
I know.
Their attempts to kiss are hampered by their Stetsons. They succeed. Meryl steps back, grinning. They dance.
And, one other thing.
Yeah?
While we were separated, I slept with someone else.
His face is solemn.
Switch partners!
Meryl is whipped off by another guy. Paul takes his leave of his new partner. Meryl's eyes are fixed on Paul. He walks out of the marquee, takes off his hat, and wipes his face as she runs up.
It just happened once. Once. Really, and I was feeling, you know, just hurt and rejected. You're upset.
No. I'm a little bit surprised, I suppose.
If you're gonna be mad, but please... Please, don't stop talking to me. Yell, scream, I don't care. You know, honestly, whatever you want.
There is nothing to scream about. We were separated. You're an adult. These things happen, so... There it is. Hey, Paul. Howdy.
Paul addresses the front half of a pantomime-type bull. He avoids Meryl's gaze and turns to watch the passing bull.
Do you want to ask me something?
No.
He walks back towards the marquee. Meryl closes her eyes momentarily, shakes her head, then covers her eyes. Paul lies on his bed.
Do you mind?
No.
Meryl clambers over him and lies down on her side, facing him. He remains motionless, not looking at her.
Do you want to talk?
No, unless you do.
I always want to talk.
Go ahead.
It's okay, never mind.
Paul turns his back on her and rests his head on the pillow. She sits up partially, then snuggles closer to him, resting her head on his pillow. He edges away from her. Day.
Hey, folks, come on down to Ray Rodeo. Calf roping, four eyes, riding contest. Hey, come again.
There are stalls, cattle, and riders. A banner is strung across the main street. Ray Rodeo Day. A car pulls into the curb behind a rider. Its driver is Vincent.
Hey, excuse me. How you doing?
Howdy.
I'm looking for two friends of mine, Paul and Merrill.
Oh, the Fosters. They're probably on their way to the rodeo, but they're staying with the Wheelers.
Wheelers? And where's that?
Okay, so go down this road, and when you see the broken fence, make a right. And then we come to the second big rock.
Merrill wakes in the bed alone. She listens, then glances at the empty space beside her. Clay is in the next room, brushing his boots. Emma sits opposite him, drinking coffee.
Morning. Better shake a leg if you want to eat.
Do you know where Paul is?
Emma indicates with her thumb.
Thank you.
He's outside, failing to chop a log. It falls and he kicks it. The axe sticks in it.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Who do you think this is fooling? Isn't this what screwed us up in the first place, not talking?
Is it? Oh, is it really? Sorry, it was stupid of me. I thought it was sleeping with other people. But maybe you're right, yes?
All right, you know what? Never mind.
Well, all right. What would you like me to do? Would you like me to beg for information? Then I will. What was his name?
Larry.
Larry? Are you serious?
Larry. No, he's recently divorced. He just asked me to dinner.
It's fine. I think I got the picture. And then you probably had a few drinks and you moaned about your horrible husband. And then you went back to his apartment. I got it.
Well, no. Went back to our apartment.
Right, we're selling the place. Thanks so much for telling me.
You're probably upset. Look, we both made mistakes.
I made a mistake. Yours seems just a little bit more like revenge.
Are you serious? Revenge? I mean, do you not know me at all? You think that I would sleep with someone for revenge? I would sleep with someone to hurt you?
Well, at this point, I don't really know what I think of you.
Oh, my God. Screw you.
Can I just say this? Merrill,
no, you know
can
what?
I just...
No.
Can I speak?
No, wait, not to me. Not
Merrill.
Ready to go?
I think I'm going to pass on the rodeo. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Me too. I have a lot of packing to do.
Well,
sorry.
Okay, then.
Clay steps outside.
Hold on.
Emma turns to face Merrill and Paul.
I know it's none of my business, but I've watched you two over the past 4 days laughing together over your little inside New York jokes. I don't find them funny, but I think that you can always tell a lot about a couple by the fact that they still laugh together.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I think he's funny. He makes me laugh. But if we're gonna stay together, then, you know, I guess we have to scale back our expectations, and I won't expect everything from him, and he won't expect everything from me.
We should expect everything from each other.
Clay walks back in.
Marriage doesn't make any sense. You gotta stop thinking about it and just get over all the bullshit and make it work.
He turns to Emma and jerks back his head.
Look, I figured if she said something, I was gonna... Oh, God, come on, honey, let's just go.
Open-mouthed, Emma stares.
We'll pick you up and take you to the airport.
I have not heard you talk that much.
Well, I had to offer my 2 bits worth.
Vincent drives onto the wooden bridge and crosses it. Paul is packing a suitcase on his bed. He holds a can of spray, which he sticks in a pocket. He picks up the Stetson and starts to pack it. He presses down on it. He turns it over and fills it with articles of clothing. Merrill sits on the couch, knitting. Her tongue sticks out and she shakes her head. She glances across at the door to Paul's room. Vincent creeps along the track by the river, his eyes fixed on the house. He spins, sees the bear, and shoots. Vincent staggers, and the bear turns on its heels. Paul comes out of the room, and they both look out of the window.
Who's that?
Oh, my God! Oh, my God, it's him!
I gotta call Claire and Emma.
Oh, no, the phone is a code!
Christ!
They shut and lock the door. Paul pushes furniture in front of it, and Merrill comes running from another room carrying a rifle. She races to the window beside Paul.
Excuse me. What, are you kidding?
She takes a pot shot through the window. Vincent takes cover. She shoots again. She takes aim.
Oh, my God! I'm out of bullets!
Something I never expected to hear you say. We'll go out the back.
Vincent shoots out the window. Meryl and Paul make their way outside.
Come on, up, up!
Onto a horse.
Come on.
Vincent barges his way in.
Where have you gone?
Meryl sits, arms round Paul. Vincent spots them through the window. He misses. They gallop off. Vincent runs to his car, races back across the bridge, and slews round the corner.
Okay, we've got to find Clay. Should be easy. He's wearing a cowboy hat.
They're at the rodeo. A rider mounted on a bull is released from a pen. The bull bucks and he falls off.
Nice try, cowboy. It's been a while since anybody rode this bull at 8 seconds, Mark.
Paul fails to tie the horse up properly. It wanders off.
Something like a busking bride at the altar. Doc Simmons and the boys have a dangerous job protecting these bull riding cowboys. That's a lot of bull. And that ain't no bull.
That's Clay.
He's in the box. Go.
Folks, let's have a big hand for our bull fighting clowns.
The clowns, including the pantomime bull, leave the arena. Vincent makes his way from the car park, his eyes peeled.
Folks, we got a little trick for you today before our next bull. Here's hometown trick rider Charlie Ames.
He steals a Stetson hanging from a horse's saddle. Meryl and Paul walk around the arena where a rider does gymnastics on horseback. Meryl looks behind them.
Oh, my God!
She points Vincent out.
Just sit.
They squeeze into the front row, a large man between them. Vincent walks towards the seating area, and Paul leans over to Meryl.
Scuttle.
They move away from the seats as the acrobat, standing to her full height, rides round the arena. The crowd applaud as she hangs upside down from the saddle. Vincent shoves a guy out of his way. The rider takes her leave horizontally.
Nice riding, Charlie. Thank you. Don't just give her a big hand. Next up is Tom Ouellette. Tom's riding the aptly named Bull Killer. All three cowboys to get on this bull got dumped right out of the gate. Let's see if Tom can break that streak.
The front half of the pantomime bull sneezes. Vincent is close by. Meryl sees him through the eye holes. Another bull and its rider are released. He doesn't last as long as the previous. The clowns run into the arena. One of them pushes the recalcitrant pantomime bull.
What's happening? I can't see.
Her sneezing attracts the attention of Killer the Bull.
Oh, my God.
What's that noise?
Oh, just run!
I'm running! I don't have a choice!
They hit broadside.
Meryl, you all right?
Oh, no! I really think I hurt my leg.
Oh, God.
I don't think I can walk. Oh, my God, we're never going to get away from him.
What? Where is he?
Just outside the arena gate.
Oh, God.
All right. Wait there. I'll be back in a minute.
Wait. Wait, what are you doing? Where are you going? Please don't leave me.
Just keep your head down.
Paul, wearing clown dungarees, takes the bear spray from his pocket and sneaks towards the gate. He opens it. Vincent turns. Paul shoots the spray into his own face.
Ow! Bollocks!
Oh! Hey, I got plenty of room on my wall for another head.
Drop it, son. Step back away from my lawyer.
I should just point out that even if you kill me, you now have 2 more witnesses who will testify against you.
3.
4.
5.
You're 6, Cal.
6.
Vincent glances at Earl, who has a gun trained on him, as has Emma. Clay, from his commentary box, tosses a horseshoe. It hits Vincent on the head. He collapses to the ground. Clay signals to Emma. Paul sprays Vincent for good measure, then goes back into the arena.
You all right?
Oh. Are you crazy? You could have been killed.
I am just very touched that would have bothered you.
Well, of course it would have. Oh, God, I had this horrible moment where I pictured what life would be like without you.
That's exactly what I had. When you were lying here sprawled in the dust, all I wanted to do was protect you. I lost all physical fear. It's coming back now, though. What in God's name was I thinking?
I know exactly what you were thinking. You were thinking that we're meant to be together. Because look what you did. You risked your life for me. That's so nice.
No.
Sorry.
No, no. I am sorry. I am so sorry for nearly curing an incurable romantic. I want you to expect everything from me. You're not going to get it, but I promise to try and give it. I love you, Meryl. If you are, in fact, Meryl, I can't really see. I'm sorry.
Meryl, trust me.
She stares deeply at him.
Because I trust you all over again.
They kiss, forgetting about Killer, who's at the far end of the arena, under control. Vincent has a bandage round his head. An FBI agent hustles him into a car.
Goodbye, Lucy. I hope I get to hear you on the radio soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Girl. Lucy,
eat some meat.
Eat some meat. Okay.
Okay, good.
Take care.
Well, I think we've become good friends.
Think what you want.
Or not, whatever. So?
I don't know what to say, except, we are really, truly sorry about everything.
Yeah. Don't be. The feds are so happy with us, they're letting Clay keep his job.
Is that right? That's great news.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Morgan, we're ready for you.
Okay. Well, I suppose this is it. If we're ever attacked by a bear in Central Park, we will be the only ones who know what to do.
You just take good care of my favorite cousin, okay?
Emma.
Goodbye, Paul.
Thank you.
Really,
thank you for everything. And,
take care.
Remember
my
wood chopping tips.
Oh, I'll never forget.
It's mainly wrist. It's less arm. Clay, I'm going to hug you. You won't like it, but I'm going to hug you.
I'll never have a fire again.
Thank you. And listen, if you're ever in New York,
something has gone terribly wrong.
Okay, well, let's go home.
Come on. Adios.
They head off arms round each other.
Sheriff, your life just got a whole lot simpler.
So does yours, babe.
L.A. where I see the stars. Germany,
the SUV drives out of the rodeo.
Texas, I eat the baby back ribs. But New York is where I live.
Italy, 6 months later.
Where I buy my shoes. Orleans, where I sing the blues. Pablo Espanol in Madrid, but New York is where I live.
The plane touches down.
Isn't it amazing that she slept the whole flight?
Oh. Is that amazing? Are they not meant to do that? Is she faulted?
Faulted?
A Chinese baby.
No, she's perfect.
Perfect but nameless. Well, perhaps we'll finally come up with a name on the road home. She could be Midtown Tunnel Mall. 59th Street Bridge.
Hey, there's Adam and Jackie. Hi.
Get their bags.
Should I get a cart?
You are the cart. Go. Hey. Thank you, honey.
You're my girl.
Go.
Adam rushes away from a smiling Jackie. The Morgans enter their new apartment.
Hurry, get that. Get the phone.
Yes. Hello? Oh, hello, Adam. I've missed you. No, I'm taking the day off tomorrow, so you do not need to come in. Yes, I'm sure. Well, in that case, have fun moving Jackie's mother's furniture. I see many happy years ahead of you.
The baby smiles.
Okay, bye. You know what I wish? I wish that as an older, wiser couple, we could give them some advice like Clay and Emma gave us. Or we could just send them to Ray for the weekend.
Ray!
Paul looks at her and tilts his head.
We'll call her Ray. R-A-E. Ray.
I quite like that.
Do you like her?
Yes.
No, no, not you. You. What are your thoughts?
Ray?
Ray Morgan.
Hey, this is our new apartment, Ray.
It's the one we had to get because I didn't want to stay in the old one after Mummy slept there with Larry.
She doesn't need to hear this. Now listen. Come here, little girl. He's got... Oh, come on. 3,000 square feet. And a very spacious master bedroom. And come see this view. Come look at this view, little lady.
Meryl carries Ray to a large window.
Right here. Look at that. Can you believe? Is that something? It is, it is.
Aww. There's a view of Central Park.
That is quite a beautiful view.
What? What?
How are you feeling, by the way?
Good.
Yeah? Everything all right?
Very good.
She's pregnant.
Funny if this one comes out Chinese as well.
Hi, you've reached Meryl Morgan. I can't take your call right now, so leave a message and have a great day. Thanks.
Meryl? 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 Meryl?